Hello, it's Barry Funkhauser from the SoCal Sound, and I am beside myself. Why? Because I'm with Say She She. Naya, Pia, Sabrina, I'm so honored to be here with you guys. And first off, tell me, like, how did you find each other?
Oh, but listen, we're happy to be beside you too. Wow, how did we find each other? Well, I say that's the New York melting pot for you. Sab and I lived in the same building in the Lower East Side on Orchard Street, and I would hear her singing early in the morning through the floorboards, and she'd hear me through the rafters because she was below me, stomping around late at night, singing my songs. So yeah, you can definitely tell the difference in our personalities.
So you weren't friends, you were neighbors?
We were neighbors,
Did you guys like meet in the elevator?
Well, there was no elevator in that building.
No. 6-floor walk up, for sure. Oh.
Yeah, and definitely the holes through the floorboards, so that's why we could definitely hear each other singing, and that's how we knew the other one was a singer. And then I think you left me cookies, didn't you?
I did.
Which was the cutest thing in the world. And I was like, what? How can this New Yorker be so nice? Because, you know, New Yorkers can be a bit gritty sometimes. And then I looked up where she was from and I was like, oh, okay, I see. I get it. There's some Canadian in you too. Because from the upstate
Rochester
part.
Yeah.
Oh, which is up
basically
there.
It's like 6 hours.
Basically, you. You're very kind to everybody, right?
Yeah. She is. It's beautiful. And then I think I left you a bottle of bubbles
on
return. But it was just doorstop exchanges. So we still hadn't seen who each other were or knew what each other looked like. And then eventually we had a mutual friend in the building who was like, you guys need to be friends. And then Naya and I met at a party in Harlem. And there was a beautiful singer called Emily Weibel who had a show at our friend's house. And there was all these beautiful women there, and all of us just went up to the rooftop afterwards to pop a couple of bottles and celebrate this beautiful show that Emily had given. And we were all so inspired, and we all just started singing and harmonizing at each other on the roof. So it was just like...
Was that the moment?
Yes,
was that the light bulb? It's like, hey, we should do more of this. What do you guys say?
Well, no, we definitely were friends for a while before, but we always sang together, but we were friends for a while. So that, I think, is the foundation of Say She She is the friendships that began.
You can tell. Yeah. You can tell you guys are like tight. Now what about the band though? Are you tight with the band? Where'd you find those guys?
God, we love them. We're so lucky.
We really are.
It's like a wall of sound.
Yeah. Shout out to Terry Cole.
Yeah. He is the head of our label.
Yeah.
He's also a friend.
He made that matchmaking. Yes. He made that happen. And
oh, and also we were trying to resist. Like I was being very stubborn. Like, don't tell us who to play music with. don't be like that. And
yeah.
It was like so sincere, and that's so terrible of me. But you know, and then it's just when someone tells you, oh no, you should do this. I don't know. Something in me is like, I'm not sure if it was an idea that we should definitely do that, switch direction. And
He said he basically was like, just go have a session at Killian Sound, which is Sergio's studio, the guitar player, Sergio Rios. And we showed up kind of not knowing what to expect and basically wrote Forget Me Not on the spot the first day, meeting all four of them. And that sort of sealed the deal for us. We were like, we need to work with you.
And every single day that we've had, we have a writing session. Usually takes us a whole day to shape a song. We'll come prepared, you know, we have ideas and references and we like know what we want out of the song, but then I don't know how the boys manage to do it, but they just like read our minds. You know, 'cause you can describe things in words, but how can you describe a sound that you haven't written yet? And they just, it's just incredible. And we spend the whole day, every single day that we've written with them, we've come out with a song that we're happy and proud of. There's not been a day, has there, where we're like, don't love that, you know. We'll throw, lots of times you write a song and you think, okay, I might not use this. At least we finished it. Let's move on. But every single time we've written a song with them, we feel
five stars.
Happy with it.
We just,
it's
amazing.
It's just a space. From the get-go, it felt like a really safe space in the room there with them. And they're just so amazing. They've been playing together for like 15 to 20 years.
Yeah. Well, Sergio and Dad have known each other since they were 15 years old.
Yeah.
They're just super tight.
Went to school together and had their first high school band together. They've never left each other's side. It's amazing. Yeah. Surprised they haven't killed each other.
I bet they're loving this whole tour, though, because they get to be the guys behind.
No,
they're just
so
musicians.
Supportive.
We are loving this tour.
Yeah. They're so supportive.
They're just amazing.
They're the sensitive brothers at this point.
Yeah.
And there's no alphas.
Yeah.
Well, there's no beaters masquerading as alphas either, because those guys are the worst.
Oh, my God.
You guys do this thing where you sing. And you sing in a note, and then you go way up high to another note. How did you figure that out? How did you do that? Because that's something you don't hear with singers. You know what I'm talking about?
Where you sing? Yeah, it's them too. It's not me.
That was amazing.
Well, we both just love to sing high, and we're just like, well, why not sing high? Yeah. You know, like we just do the things that come naturally.
I mean, I also think at one point we were in a session, and we started just doing the operatic thing. And then we were like getting competitive with each other and like trying to top one another and who could go higher. And then it just ended up in harmony. And we were like, oh, let's go with that, you know? And so that sort of stuck as part of our sound, I guess.
Now the sound, do you see yourself as, what do you like better? The behind the scenes making the music or the performing the music that you've produced and put together?
That's so hard. That's like a Sophie's choice. That's terrible.
I think we all might have different answers for this one. But I just love the live performance the most. I love the writing process. The actual recording process is more challenging.
It's work. That's what work
is. Yeah, it's a little more tedious. It's, you know, but it's still fun.
But not when we're recording live to tape. Maybe the vocal overdub sessions are.
Yeah.
But when we record, we always record live to tape.
Yeah, with the band.
You know, you can have this thing called demoitis when you get attached to your demo and then you just like never can quite recreate that magic. So when we started this project, we were like, you know how that happens? Why don't we just skip that bit entirely and we just make the song, make the demo the song and just make it good enough and live with it, live with the imperfections too. And I think there's something beautiful and honest about the presentation of a song with all its imperfections as you wrote it. As you play it, the first time that it comes and enters the world, you know.
But you don't hear any imperfections with you guys. You got a 5-star everybody here. It's
you can come again. You're invited for
seeing. So tell me about.
We had our growing pains.
Tell me about Prism, the new album. Is that your first album?
Yeah.
So when you had that in your hand, did you grab the vinyl first, or the artwork, or the CD? Like, how did that feel when you had the finished Prism right here?
It went straight on the decks.
Yeah.
It did. Yeah, it went straight on the decks. And it was the artwork. My sister made the artwork, so that was super special. And it was, you know, such a labor of love and community. There was so many old friends. Naya's oldest friends, my oldest friends, Brina's oldest friends. Everybody had a hand in that record. Because it was made so long ago, these songs were the first songs that we ever wrote together, starting in 2017, 2018. And you know, and it took a while for that record to come and be made. The tangible vinyl, you know, there was a lot of backing delays with pressing plants. You know, they were completely backed up. So we had to wait a long time.
There's only like two companies that do vinyl anymore anyway.
So yes. Someone needs to start more pressing plants. Yeah. But the sound on wax is so warm, and we record live to tape, so we wanted that. We're all record lovers and, you know, collect a lot. And having that record on wax was so important to us that it was worth the wait. Even though you grow as an artist and you keep writing songs, and maybe the things that we wrote for Prism reflect how we were 3 years ago, and maybe we've changed and evolved and what we want to say, and we've been extremely lucky that our labels allowed us to put releases out in a non-linear way. And we don't really care for linear anyway. Everyone's so obsessed with thinking everything's linear. A calendar isn't even linear. It happens again every year. It's cyclical. And, you know, I just feel like we should go with that. And we're lucky that Terry Cole agreed with us and was like, you know, for Norma, we wanted to put it out straight away. We felt we had to say something.
Tell me about Norma now. Is that, that's not on Prism, right? That's an after Prism situation. Where'd that come from? Because that's a fascinating story.
You know, we had, in May, we came for some songwriting sessions with our band, who is here with us tonight. And we would go in, like Pia said, we would go in every day and start a session and we'd come out with a song. On this particular day, we had just heard about the possibility of Roe v. Wade being overturned. And so literally we were so angry and so devastated by this news that we could not write any other song that day. No. So it kind of just poured out of us. And we felt like, well, this is the perfect opportunity to use our voices the best way we know how, you know, in these lyrics and this energy in this song, and hope that, you know, others will listen and be with us and stand for, you know, and we were hoping that, you know, it wasn't true and it wouldn't happen, but it turned out that it
was overturned anyway, right?
Yeah.
So but there's still opportunities to lobby, and that's, I think, we're lucky that the lyrics still stand up, and it is about letter writing right now. And we just did an event with the Big Send, which is a great organization working for Vote Forward America. We did an event in New York. There was another one in LA, and they're really getting people to write to people in the states that matter and count, and underrepresented populations, people who haven't voted before, to motivate them. And you write a personal letter to explain to them why it's important to vote. And I took some of my neighbors who I was like curious what they were going to write. And they just wrote the most direct, straightforward New York, straight talking stuff. And I was like, this is great lobbying. My neighbors are amazing. They're like, you're an American. I'm an American. It's your right. It's my right. Plain and simple. I loved it.
Wow. Well, anytime you can write a song that has a message, that's incredible. And when it just comes out like that, you know, it took the whole day, but man, aren't we glad that it did? Because look at what you made. That's an amazing song.
Thank you.
Now I want to ask about one more song, and that is Pink, and that is Pink Roses. And Sabrina wrote that, right? Or did you all write that?
I mean, we all wrote it, but it was inspired by a personal story of mine. We did it with Bardo Martinez from Chicano Batman. We went out to his studio in LA, and yeah, it happened to be...
That's a big one. How was that production?
That was really fun. They've been friends for forever because they... went on tour with Chicano Batman back in the day. But yeah, that around that time when we wrote it, it was around the year anniversary of my mom passing from ovarian cancer. So it was just an emotional time for me. But of course, it was such a safe space, and Bardo's so encouraging that it sort of, yeah, it was a very cathartic experience writing those lyrics, but also putting them on top of music that was a little bit more uplifting. And it doesn't feel like a sad song, but it is a song about grieving. So yeah, that one's pretty near and dear to my
hearts. I love them all. Everyone is like pulling at my heartstrings, because that's where they come from when you write, right? They're coming straight from your soul.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
You make us cry, seriously.
Well, tell us about a song we don't know about. Like, is there one that you really want everyone to hear
nearly hinted at it.
Oh, yeah?
Funnily enough. it's called Reeling. And that's our next release, isn't it? We're so excited about it and so excited to share it with the world. And I personally think it's our best song we've ever written so far. I don't know if you guys agree. There's another one in the mix. These two think it's better, but... we're going to perform it.
We get to see it?
Yep.
Yes,
we're going
to perform it. We're on our Out of Our Minds tour right now, so we're super excited. We're on the third stop tonight, LA, and then Bakersfield, and then we go all the way up to Portland and Seattle. So this is the first headlining tour we've had, and we just want to play a couple of these new songs that aren't released yet. We think it's really fun to get everybody up and dancing and moving, and we're very much a live band and a listening experience. Our record Prism reflects a time when we were, you know, locked down. We were making it over the pandemic with some old demos. It was about reusing and looking to the past and bringing what you have, working with what you have and the limitations of what you have too, and trying to make something that was soothing for people. And I hope that we achieved that.
Oh my gosh,
and,
yes.
But the live set is, you know, that there's a time and a place for soothing experience, and then there's a time and a place to just get your ass on the dance floor.
Yeah.
Let's shake it all off.
Oh my gosh. And I can't wait myself to see them play Say She She. It took me a while to figure, that's like a, does anybody have trouble saying Say She She? Yeah. Where'd that come from? How did you come up with that name?
Oh,
it's a hat tip to Noel Rogers, who you just have to respect because that man can get everyone up on the dance floor and moving. And yeah, the French, it's a like bilingual homophone, which sounds super nerdy, and it probably is just as nerdy as it sounds. But the in French, si chichi means it's chic. And so it's a reference to the band.
Oh,
chic.
Yeah, now I get it. I love it. Well, Say She, thank you so much for spending time with me. I cannot wait to go see you guys sing and do this thing. I saw a little bit. They do a lot better than I do. Well, thank you so much for being here, guys.
Thank you.
And we'll see you down the road when you're like even bigger.
Oh. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, let's go play.
I tried, we're out of space.
Mm-hmm.